What's up, bro? Well, that was a good one today.
Hey, happy Friday, man. Let that play a minute. I love it, man. I never get tired of these dudes at Long Cut, man. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I'm partial.
A little bit.
Well, they're awesome music, but I'm a little partial because JT from Long Cut was a Marine with me. And now he's graduated from rapping about me and making fun of me and every other instructor, and we could never rap back. Now he's gone and done big things. That's probably a lot more productive with his career, and that's just music in general. And they're crushing. Never get tired of hearing them, man.
Yeah, man.
But happy Friday to you.
Yeah.
We're going to get right into this thing. And full disclosure, guys, we are going to try to do our best to keep this out of 30 minutes. One, out of 30-minute time hack. One, because we got shit to do. We don't got time to be with you guys all day. Not true. Actually, we do have stuff to do.
Yeah, we got.
But secondly, I want this to hit as hard as possible, to give as many nuggets as I can. Not to tell you what to do, but to just shed some light on our perspective. And hopefully, guys, that helps you. I know you guys have heard our stories before. I know you guys know all about us, but believe it or not, there's even things in my life where I've chosen to play it safe. This is not just your career. This does not mean working 9 to 5 is playing it safe. It also doesn't mean that you're not playing it safe. We're going to dive into your personal, professional lives, your goals, your aspirations, the people you decide to put yourself around, and just kind of digest all of that and give you guys our thoughts from our lens and our experience. Hopefully, within this window, we can give you guys some things to think about, take with you, and then excel through not only this COVID situation that's maybe sparked a lot of thought for people and a lot of changes for people, but hopefully it lasts you much longer than that. So sit down, have some fun, take some notes if you like, have a drink, and let's roll with it.
And before we jump into that, guys, welcome to the Day One Dollar Zero podcast. If you're listening to us on iTunes, if you stumbled across us, definitely go to our Facebook page and give that a like. We live stream these videos, these podcasts live over on Facebook as well as YouTube. And if you're watching us on Facebook, don't forget to go check us out on iTunes when you're driving or working out the gym. A lot of times it's just easy to pop open the just the iTunes podcast app or Spotify, Google Play, wherever you listen to that stuff. If you like what you hear, guys, if any one of our podcasts have helped you out at all, a rating, a review, sharing it with a friend helps us out a ton, guys.
100%. So with that being said, the topic for today, I guess I'm the one that's going to be saying it. Topic for today. You see that? I'm insecure. I don't want Eli to know another dude are texting me. Put my phone face down. Topic of today is going to be playing it safe.
Yeah.
Right. We're talking personally, professionally, you know, I guess a cliff note version of that is just understanding how to leave it all on the table and not living a life of quiet desperation.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I say a lot. I'm sure it's gone around a lot. I did not invent that. It's something that's always kind of stuck with me for a long time. I think it's getting romanticized lately. Mm-hmm. Okay. More than okay. But just finding ways to leave it all on the table. But man, we're talking everything from who you decide to be in a relationship with, the job you decide to take. Even if you're in a job and the job is not playing it safe, but maybe you're playing it safe because you don't want to promote. You're scared to promote. You're scared to take on more, you know, more responsibility. This thing can go so many different directions, which is one, why we're going to keep it to 30 minutes. Two, why we're going to try to just be as direct as possible, because I don't want to necessarily try to peel this onion all the way back. What I want to do is give people a lot of just food for thought and allow themselves to peel their own onion back. If that
makes
sense.
Well, if we can, let me break down real quick what I consider playing it safe.
Please
and
do.
I want to hear yours. And then, you know, I think people can kind of associate that with their own life. So for me, I mean, playing it safe, the way I look at it, at least when we're talking professionally, is doing what a lot of people consider the right thing and taking the right path. And that's, you know, go to high school, go to college, get your degree, go and apply that degree to some field of work. And you work your 9 to 5 and you start entry level and you climb the corporate ladder. You have your 401k, you have your IRA, you have all that bullshit, your health insurance that they lure you in with. That's been the right thing, right? That's been the right path, kind of, you know, that a lot of people are just safe going down. And a lot of people, when it comes to owning your own business or following your dream per se, whatever that may be, that's scary to them because they don't have health insurance. They don't have this quote unquote safety net, right?
Potentially, we could even go further. Like if you want to start at like, and I'm just going to take a couple of notes too, man, just to keep myself on track with us.
Yeah.
But if you want to start with following your dream, I think a lot of people get motivated by that, right? So if we're going to start with dreams, because this is like prior, this is prior to 401ks. This is prior to, I have 4 kids, this job that I've had for 16 years, I cannot leave because I'm obligated to pay a certain amount of bills and responsibilities. And not going to lie, man, I'm not telling that person to go quit that job Because once you have kids, of course I want you to follow your dreams. Of course I want you to be motivating to your kiddos and all that good stuff. But being honest, it gets harder and harder and harder the further and further and further you go down a path, and then you try to revert yourself, right? Like me having regrets and trying to go back and attack some pro baseball right now. Well, okay.
Yeah.
But I got some kids.
You got obligations.
Yeah, I've got obligations. Yeah. I've got kids. And like, how realistic is that? I don't know. I think I'm the shit, so it's nice to talk about in the shower to myself. But is that really the right way to go about it? I don't know. We have a lot of youth that listens to this podcast that are anywhere from 19 to 28. For those, I think you're in a prime. I think you're in a great spot where you could figure out how to maybe listen to these. But let's just go back, man, and we can also talk about our experience, you know, that's how we can. So when we talk about dreams and following your dreams, I feel like when we're teenagers, especially around like that 17, 18 mark, we don't quite know what we want to do with our life, but we've got some, we've just got some built up energy and some aspirations to do some things. And then where do those first start getting shot down? Right. And you guys take notes for yourself, because I'm not saying these are the answers, but it could be someone telling you to go to college. It could be someone telling you not to go to college, because I'm also, man, some of the best entrepreneurs on the planet got a degree. This whole don't go to college thing, this whole like, it's got to be one or the other. You're either an entrepreneur or you're someone that's going to go to college and like be a sheep. That is not true, right? And what I did very early on after baseball was the Marine Corps. You know, you've been listening to some of the podcast stuff I've been shedding some light to you with.
Yeah.
And then breaking down the new maritime document release. It's like the Marine Corps Bible, right? They just did a new issue, and we've been going over that a lot, and just how creative and how much pressure is put on just Marines, man. We're not talking special ops Marines, we're not talking reconnaissance Marines, we're talking all Marines.
And real quick, where can people find that? Because that is super interesting. I definitely want people to dive into that.
Well, Eli, I'm glad you said that, because I'm sure we will find it and we will put it here.
Okay.
And
then
you can just
like
find
that.
It after
like
this podcast.
That. I
you
like
just
that.
Find it right here.
Good.
Eli.
I like that.
But I want people to understand, like, yeah, of course, there's some standards and proficiencies, and there are some things that you're just going to have to listen to people and follow rules and follow orders, but that's not what the Marine Corps is about. They're not about just having yes men and you're a robot and you're hypnotized. It's actually quite the opposite. But whether it's military or formal education, I don't think that limits you to being an entrepreneur. I wasn't an entrepreneur until I was 31 years old, man. It doesn't limit you. Some people are born entrepreneurs, and they're going to be 19 and at the gate, and they've probably had that their whole life, and that's also okay as well. But I want it to be known that you don't have to just quite listen to people, and you also don't have to fit into someone else's box. Maybe that entrepreneurship comes down the road for you, and that's okay. What you need to do is make the best decision you can for where you're at in that moment of who you are. And if education is still something that you want to pursue, you're okay. What's fun about entrepreneurship, you have the rest of your life to fucking do it, man. You and I can be doing entrepreneurship as long as our brains are functional. And then after that, man, like, look at some of the whack jobs that are at the top of politics and some other shit. Not that those are entrepreneurs, but the point is, sports, fighting, a lot of things, you know, police work, a lot of things require your physical. The one thing that doesn't quite require your physical to that standard is entrepreneurship and some other stuff, but especially entrepreneurship. You can be in a wheelchair doing this stuff, man. So super important to keep your open mind. But when we talk about dreams, you can talk about yours as well, but I think those get shot down because there is a lot of like parents or other people that are trying to fit you into a box that they'd like you to go into. And 2 points to that, and I'm going to let you talk. 2 points is, it could be great for you. Just because someone else is saying it, or just because your parents are saying it, doesn't make it bad. And just because you don't quite know where you want to go yet, doesn't mean that someone's suggestion for you is bad.
And that model has worked for a long time.
It can. Now, if you do know, hey, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I don't want to do that, well, then that's different.
Yeah.
And this is where you got to have your own skin and your own backbone, but at the same time, you got to go out and provide for yourself, and you got to figure out what that road looks like. But I think it starts early on. I think not only just the lack of or the opportunity of to follow your dream, that starts early on. I also think training your mind, protecting your thoughts, allowing other people's thoughts to overly influence you, I think it starts back then as well. So when we have these adults that don't quite know how to get out of their own head, or they don't know how to not let other people's influence overly impact them.
Great point.
I think it starts early on.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, and dude, I want to touch on security, because to your point, I think security should come absolute first, right? Before dreams, before any of that, security. And to me, man, I've always had that understanding, and I don't know where that came from. You know, maybe it was seeing my parents grow up and do the right thing. Both my parents went to college, did the whole deal, you know, climbed the ladder, worked their ass off, but I still see them financially struggle to this day, right? And so I think as a kid, I was aware of that. And to me, the scariest, most unsecure thing is putting my career and my paycheck and my finances in the hands of somebody else or some other company that obviously doesn't give a fuck about me. They say they're going to. Their mission statement says that they do. Yeah. But at the end of the day, the company is going to be protected before any employees. And I think a lot of people have kind of, you know, maybe questioned that when they would hear entrepreneurs, you know, speak to that until now. When mm-hmm. we see a pandemic coming around and everyone's shutting their doors, bye-bye.
Well, and it's not just a pandemic. I know that, so the pandemic, it brings things to the
surface
in a very blunt manner.
Yep.
So it's hard to hide. But the reality is, when you work for a large company, not only can that company maybe go under, right, and then you could still lose it all. Hey, 100%, right? Now, the likelihood of those things happening, I know people can talk about that and just say, hey, it's not very likely or whatever it may be. Well, a lot of times it is likely. But secondly, there's people out there that just don't trust their leadership, don't trust their management. Their management busts their balls all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't feel safe there. And what I, you know, when people talk to me, man, because I went from like Marine Corps stuff to some government stuff to police stuff, those are also corporations, man.
Oh, yeah.
You're working for the man there. You know, and when I first left the police world, you know, people were like, man, like, where are you? How are you going to make money? It's on you now. And I'm like, hey, I don't mind something being on me. I'm going to bet on me all day. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fire myself. I'm going to continue to get better no matter what and figure it out. What's nerve wracking is when you do work for someone, that could all be taken from you in that manner. It doesn't just have to be the company falling apart. It could be a manager firing you. In law enforcement, you don't think there's politics involved in law enforcement? By the way, I'm not saying every law enforcement officer is this great person and they get fucked over. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not getting involved in any politics on any call I don't know about. I get it. There's good. There's bad. That's where I leave it. However, from my perspective on the inside, there's politics, man. Yeah, there's commanders that don't like certain people that have nothing better to do than to follow you around with a fine-tooth comb, just waiting for you to do something wrong so they can try to stick it to you and make sure you're never a cop again. Right. And you know where that comes from? That comes from someone that's been in a very toxic, high-pressure, high-stress environment for too long, mm-hmm. and he never learned how to deal with it, and he's taking it out on others. Mm. Right? So... and that's not a personal story for me, by the way. Like, hey, I left police world. I was good to go. There's nothing wrong. I resigned. All good. But I do see that. And I have seen, there's a good sergeant in my head right now that was great at reconning and digging up real criminals. And he was about business, man. And every time he did something, they kept trying to stick it to that. Dude, mm-hmm. he's now retired. But kudos to him for handling mm-hmm. that amount of stress. You know what I mean? But like, it's a sad place to be in. And it's like, yeah, you think your paycheck is safe because you're doing the 9-to-5 or some government work. Mm. It's not.
No.
And there's a game to be played there.
And guys, we're not saying quit your job or don't have a 9-to-5 or don't be an employee. We need employees. Like the world, we literally need employees. However, what that means is you have to look out for yourself first and you have to put yourself in a secure position, whether that means financially educating yourself and learning about real investments, correct. Not putting that into somebody else's hands. Look at your 401k right now, today, right. or maybe well,
it's
not.
Gone. Yeah. Right. So with that being said, you're right. Like with entrepreneurship, we have no safety net. So we have to provide our own. We have mm-hmm. to figure out our life insurance, our savings, but we also have an ability to make an extraordinary amount of money.
Yes.
Real estate's a phenomenal place, man. You and mm-hmm. I can make calls and your world can be changed in one phone call, mm-hmm. right? You could also never have a phone call. It could mm-hmm. suck.
Yeah.
Not for us. We're doing well. But with that being said, that's a great opportunity. Now, if that's just not for you, that's fine. Just understand that when you're in, you know, if you're working inside of an industry, whether it be, you know, public health, safety, banking, whatever it is, you're kind of fixed to your income for a while unless you get a promotion. I know that's a blanket statement. I'm not saying other people can't make bonuses and different stuff. But for the most part, that's what that is. So you might have to get creative on, hey, how can I create a second stream of income? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then in addition to that, hey, what could I be doing to live within my means to still, outside of all this stuff that they're yes. providing for me, what am I doing to get creative to making sure that if something does happen or if I do lose my mm-hmm. job or a pandemic or a slow market, it's not just pandemics, guys, slow market, whatever it may be. What are you doing to prepare yourself that you rely on yourself for? You're not just predicated on relying mm-hmm. for, well, I've got my retirement. Yeah, well, that's in stocks. Okay. So start talking to police officers about what happened when the market crashed in 08. Guys worked 11 more years just to get back to where they were at 11 years prior. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guys were working 36 years as a cop, man. Right? Some close to 40 instead of 25-year guy, 28-year guy. No, they're 36-year guys, man. Like, you're talking about, and because they go back and play that game, it's going to take them a decade, almost another decade, to get back where they're at. Now, I'm not saying that everything is bulletproof. I'm not. What I am saying is there's got to be a better way to still place some responsibility on yourself outside of what they provide for you to make sure that you're doing all you can for yourself to have some damage control. Mm-hmm.
And this just comes down to being self-sufficient all around. And I know when, you know, COVID first hit, we were a few weeks into it and, you know, there were literally changes every hour as far as what was allowed and what was not allowed. And we were right in the middle of selling our house where it was like, man, we were relying on that income heavily and it was unsure. And for me, it really made me start. But it really just made me start thinking about, man, how sufficient are you? If are you relying on somebody else, a phone call, a client to pay your bills? Are you relying on the police to save your ass if you need saving? Are you relying on the grocery store to always have food to feed your family? Like, that it really just made me start thinking about all of that.
It's huge. And this all, again, guys, this all derives from, like, I know we just spoke about dreams, but this type of mindset and then going down a path and you end up going way too far before you look back and go, man, like, this is just not the path I want to be on. For me, it hit me at 30, right? Like, I left baseball. Hey, all good. Went to Marine Corps. One of the best decisions I've ever made in my life, right? For reasons we've spoken about before, but love it, man. And it was a, it was a long 8 years, and there was a lot that went with that, but I had a lot of growing that I did that I will keep for a lifetime that I'm very proud of. And then some government work, police work for 5 years, but after that 5 years in the police world, I said, man, like, I don't know if I'd just been running and gunning a long time, and I was over it, or just some of the, I guess you can call them politics, for lack of a better word, that just go involved. And it was never the people I had to go help. It was never the shitheads. Shitheads, you know, are shitheads you expect. Yeah. Man, I don't mind people yelling at me and saying stupid stuff. People that need help, I'm proud to help them. There was just, there is some of the politics within that industry, right? Within that chain of command that you are subjected to. And I didn't care for it. But then that's when I started looking at, like, man, like, okay. Like, at that point, I had the freedom, man. I didn't have all these kids. I wasn't married. I had an opportunity to, like, okay, these thoughts that are kind of creeping into your mind, you better start soul searching right now. You better shit or get off the pot. Because there are, man, there was cops that I know that had been around 14, 15, 12, you know, 18 years that had kids and had baseball and a ton of stuff to pay for, and they didn't care for the job anymore. Mm-mm. Yeah, man, like, it wasn't just the politics or hierarchy within the chain of command there. There's just a lot of how the public was seeing police work behind the Obama administration, and there was a certain way the public started treating police that put police in very dangerous situations, and that we're also handcuffing them from taking action. And I'm not talking about just shooting someone. Let's get past that. Not that that's acceptable, but there was other underlying factors that never get talked about on social media that they have to deal with. And, man, you have a split second to make a decision to protect your life or someone else's. And that's a dangerous place to be in if you're doubting, you know, not only, just the people, man. Like, it was just different. Let's call it that. It was just a different world. And I started having these questions. And the one benefit is, in the police world, it's somewhat like the military. You can see people that are higher ranks than you. You see their job. You see what they put up with. You see their responsibilities. So you can sit down and go, all right, do I want to be a detective? Do I want to be in any, like, special assignment? Do I want to be a sergeant? Do I want to be a lieutenant? No.
Mm-hmm. It's like being a little brother watching your siblings.
Yeah, like, growing up. And it wasn't any disrespect to the type of work or the people that I knew in law enforcement directly, man. They're all great people that I was able to meet. But with that being said, I saw some of the people that I really cared for get subjected to some not so good things. Mm-hmm. One of them, that sergeant I'm talking about, bro, he was a cop's cop. Mm-hmm. And what they were doing to him was just, and I'm just like, man, like, do I want to be raising a family and be subjected to that? Could I handle that stress like he did? I don't know. And I don't think anybody intentionally goes into a career thinking that they're going to get fucked with. Mm-hmm. Right. So, but I also, like, had ambition. Like, my dad's an entrepreneur. My granddad was an entrepreneur after World War II in Korea. He had his own company. Mm-hmm. My mom's parents were entrepreneurs, some of the biggest folks in Brighton that came from Chicago that were extremely successful. I think that's just in my blood. And I had finally started kind of, like, sitting down and thinking of it. But the one benefit, man, was I was flexible, man. I was lightweight. I wasn't married, didn't have these kids, mm-hmm. man. Like, I was in a good spot to make that decision. I think some people might miss that. So if you're listening right now, like, not to get long-winded, but these are important conversations that you have to have with yourself, whether you're 40, 50, 30, 25, 18. If you're in a point in your life where you have an opportunity to make that change, mm-hmm. man, you got to really look at, like, turning yeah. that stone and see what that looks like, and then maybe make that move moving forward and go all in, because it could be the best thing that ever happened to you.
And here's the deal, guys. Maybe you are further past that point. You have a family, have obligations, but maybe you have all that shit and you're literally sitting at home quarantined with no job right now. There's literally no better opportunity for you to learn these new skills, make smaller adjustments. That's really the only thing. If you're at a different place in life to where you have more obligations, yes, you have to make smaller adjustments. You have to move a little slower and a little more methodical and kind of plan out. However, you have to make these little incremental changes to slowly change your position, right? You can't 100%. you can't make these big drastic changes when you have these obligations. You do have to be a little more strategic about it, but it is possible, guys. And this doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go and start a company.
No.
But what we're talking about, guys, is just little additional income that you,
like,
can
if you
be strategic
want to get inside,
with.
Yeah, like not to cut you off, but if you're excited about real estate, you don't need to go own a brokerage.
No.
If you're looking at what lending looks like, you don't need to go own a lending mm-hmm. branch. No, but just diving into those companies and working your way up and learning that job and getting around super successful people in that industry that can then, over the course of several years, graduate you into being a VP or owning a branch. Great, but you're also going to learn what it takes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's, we're talking to Manny about that, man. Just like how, with Bastards, on how he literally did every dirt job in the restaurant industry when he first got out of the Marine Corps, when he was going to college, that prepared him. For one, he knew what he wanted to get into.
Yeah.
Secondly, he became super proficient at everything that was needed before he started actually becoming some type of co-owner or running mm-hmm. or helping run Bastards. Super important. So don't think that you have to change every single night. No. And we could go on for days on this. I know we're trying to keep it to 30 minutes. You're probably going to get 35 out of us, guys. Maybe we'll make this like a part two. But something else I want to talk about. Eli loves it when I bring up these two words. Bring up the TP.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't talking about no toilet paper. I could be talking about toilet paper. We got shit tons of toilet paper here, pun intended.
That's right.
Toxic positivity.
Yeah.
Not only when we talk about playing it safe, maybe the industry you're in is great. You know, maybe the family that you have and that you've chosen is great. Like, it goes further than that. And this is where we talk about, especially men, no disrespect to women. First and foremost, women are just stronger. Let's just say that, right? Women are stronger. They're more coachable. They endure more. Sorry, men. Not saying men aren't badass. I've met some of the most badass men on the planet. Watch women go through labor and what they endure through pregnancy and just be rock stars from my perspective here. I'm not saying that every woman is great. However, we've also had some women on our team within real estate these past couple of years that have done some great things, that have overcome some, you know, some amazing things. Women are really good at enduring, and they're just tough and they're coachable. And when they've hit their breaking point, man, and they want to grow, they freaking grow. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm going to get into right now, it might be more specific to men a little bit, depending on how you take it. It's only because I am male, or I identify as male. So, you know, that's what I can speak to. Oh, but man. Toxic positivity, this is where, you know, the dad bods grow and we start sacrificing some things that we really love to do for ourselves that makes us who we are, that we give up mm-hmm. because we got kids or family and we don't want to wake up earlier. Or yeah, hey, losing 5 pounds. Oh, hey, that's hey, you do a couple of deals and you get around other people that have somehow surrendered and found it okay to living, you know, mediocre, as in not money, not any of that. Just they're not challenging themselves every single day. We're living this life of like, hey, everyone's happy. But again, there's like just so much quiet despair. And we see a lot of toxic positivity in real estate. We see a lot of people get patted on the fanny for not doing very much, but they're getting patted on the fanny by other people not doing very much. And that's in my opinion, that's a dangerous place to be. Toxic positivity means people that are just overly giving you positive vibes for things that are not necessarily that high on the Richter scale for achievement. Now, this is where it's subjective, because I'm not going to sit here and tell someone 5 pounds of losing weight is not extraordinary. Maybe for your circumstances, it could be. Maybe you're disabled. Maybe, who knows? You've got medical conditions. Who knows? You know. So that's where, when we start talking about toxic positivity, this is the pillar we're going to dive into right now, that you have to have some self-awareness and you have to identify with how you feel. Because mm-hmm. I can't tell you that, hey, 5 pounds straight across the board is not significant. That's mm-hmm. not true. I can't tell you 5 deals a year is not amazing. Right now, I might have stronger opinions because I'm in that industry. But the bottom line is, toxic positivity, as we boil this down, you really got to look at yourself and go, man, could I be doing a lot better? And if that's true, depending on the people that are around you saying all these kind of things or patting you on the ass, like, are they patting you on the ass and encouraging that mediocrity because they're also living that same lifestyle and they haven't chosen to maybe go further with it? Maybe they don't want you to go further with it, right? People do, like when you meet someone, you start becoming friends, they start having an image of who you are. Mm-hmm. And when you start becoming more successful or more ambitious or more assertive or more aggressive with your goals and your changes, understand you're also kind of changing the perception of who you are to them, and they might not always like it. However, that's okay. But again, these are questions you're going to have to ask yourself mm-hmm. as far as, am I surrounding myself around people who have nothing but positivity to say for me? There's never any friction. There's never any correction. There's never any accountability. Everyone is just happy-go-lucky like that movie Pleasantville. And it's not what you need. Like, you do want more out of life, but you have sunk into that, I call it like that neighborhood life where everyone around you is just promoting that.
I think starting off with awareness of what toxic positivity is super important, but then understanding your duty and obligation to help be aware. Once you're aware of this, it's your duty and obligation to help correct this. So there's two places you have to help correct it. Understand that when people are complimenting you or, you know, telling you good job on this or that, you have to be aware of what was my level of effort and is this really needed? Understand that generally the people that are telling you that because it makes them feel good. I mean, they may or may not think you did an actual good job, but it feels good to say nice things to people,
yeah,
right?
Like, Eli, if you lose 5 pounds, I'm like, hey, right on, bro.
Yep.
No, I'm not going to throw a party for you.
Nope.
Okay? I'm not. But like, for, you know, and again, this is why it's so subjective because like you and I hit top 1% in the nation mm-hmm. for production 2018. Mm-hmm. Then we hit top 0.5% in mm-hmm. the nation 2019. However, that was for Berkshire. However, I almost looked like I was toxic because I wasn't celebrating. And that's okay. But hear me out. I don't think anything I do in a year is my ceiling. Mm-mm. I don't think anything I hit in 2 years is my ceiling. So my personal opinion of the achievements we have is, hey, man, that's a big deal and that's a great job. However, if we can get that high that quick, that's not the bar.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's something I want to point out, too. You need to watch your words, which you did there real time, and people may not have noticed. I want to point it out. He said top half percent for Berkshire. He almost forgot it, but then he threw that in because that means that's not nationwide. That's our brokerage. That's our brand. Yeah, right. But that's not across all realtors. Mm-hmm. We got a long freaking way to go.
There are people that are mountains ahead of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, and with that being said, if you are ambitious, if you do want to get more assertive and more aggressive with the goals, and you do have momentum, and you're starting to meet people that are maybe further ahead of you, and you want more, this is where you have to go get more.
And ask for it, yeah.
And ask for it, and then make sure that whoever you're putting yourself around on that next level, bring them value as well. Mm-hmm. And be around the people that, if they're ahead of you, they're happy to bring you value. And this is where you have to kindly be unapologetic. If you have less time for other people in your life that you love and that you care, that are great mm-hmm. friends down the road, and you love drinking beers with the neighborhood guys, and they're fucking cool, but you're ambitious and you just want more out of your life, whether that's business and growth or you got to get your ass back into the gym or back into your garage to work out so you can't always drink the beers when you're hanging out with them, and you're hanging out with them less because you're on the grind. Any good friend is going to promote you and maybe even come work out with you. Who knows? But they're going to be super stoked for you. People that are a little bummed, understand that's not your responsibility to wear. That's coming from somewhere else. It's not you. There's a feeling in them, even if it's not anger and they're lashing out. Those are like the super dramatic people. Mm-hmm. I don't even fucking adhere to them. I don't I'm not even going to spend time other than this comment right now to speak toward super dramatic people that want to be crazy toxic to others that aren't around as much anymore because they're trying to better their life. If it's those dramatic people that are making it blatantly obvious that they're angry at you, hey, that needs to go anyway. I'm talking about maybe some of the ones that are a little bit more subtle or that kind of miss you and this and that. You just got to let them know and let them understand what you're doing. Now, they might not quite understand it right away, but the more you commit to your goals, the more you commit to the dedication it's going to take to get better, the more serious they start to take you. Mm-hmm. And the more serious they start to take you, they might start changing their life if they choose to as well. And you don't have to obligate that to them. You're not mm-hmm. doing this to hope that your neighbor changes. No, do this for you, but just realize leading from the front and taking action, there are going to be a couple that change. If there are a couple that don't, and maybe they treat you slightly different, they don't text you as much anymore, they don't invite you to some kid's birthday party because you didn't go to the other birthday party, those subtleties between like parenting friends, it happens, man, and we hear a lot about it. And when that happens, understand, unless you did something direct to them to be rude or crude or toxic, you're just bettering your life and you can't be around as much, and then that's the reaction that mm-hmm. you get. It's not you. There's something else that they're wearing inside of them, and maybe they are living a little bit of quiet desperation, and maybe you, soccer mom, who got your abs back and been kicking ass, maybe that other mom does want that, and there's some quiet despair in her, and she's going to figure out how to make excuses as to why she's not doing that versus getting motivated and doing it right away. However, it's not your responsibility to wear their emotions and their feelings that they are now directing toward you. It's not your responsibility.
And I just want to put a precursor out there, guys, that all of this stuff that we're talking about, you know, playing it safe, you know, putting yourself in secure positions, not adhering to this toxic positivity, it is super, super, super uncomfortable. And what I want you guys to start doing is, you know, our brains have kind of these built-in patterns and built-in triggers built in to where, you know, when we start doing things that are outside of our comfort zone, we start getting danger signals, right? And you feel apprehension and you kind of have this, just this feel, you're scared to move forward, right? And a lot of people freeze up and fall back into that comfort zone. What I want to tell you guys is you need to start recognizing that and reversing those patterns. For me, I've tried to just make myself super aware. Hey, Eli, when you start feeling comfortable in something, that needs to be the danger signal. That needs to be the red light of, hey, be aware, caution, you're getting comfortable. You need to start. That means you're not pushing yourself forward, right?
Yeah. And that could be anything. It's like, again, like, let's say you're comfortable in jiu-jitsu and you're like, oh, I'm getting comfortable. Maybe you got to switch up gyms. Maybe you got to go more often.
You need people to train with. You need to grapple
with guys that are just better. It doesn't mean change your career. It doesn't mean go making drastic changes. It could mean that, but it also means if you feel like you want more and there's more there for you just in life, right? Okay. Sit down, have a conversation with yourself of like, I feel that. Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. Is it career change? Is it stuff with my family? Is it, did I settle with the person that I'm dating right now? If you're married, can't speak to that. You're fucked, right? Well, maybe you're not being funny, but if the person that you're with in your life, the friends or, you know, the friends or maybe some family that you have in your life, whatever those changes start feeling like and you want more, go after it. And again, the biggest mask in all of this thing is when everybody's cheering you on and everybody's clapping at you for the little things. And it's almost like just overly, man. I can't remember. I was at this brokerage, man. And somebody like messaged someone on Facebook and they were down to have a phone call. And it was like, just like confetti was everywhere. And I'm like, fucking criminy, man. Like, hey, hold on a minute. No, fuck that. That's too low. That's not a bar for anyone. At some point, it is too low. Like, hey, I didn't shove a bunch of chocolate in my face today. Fuck off. Sorry. Hey, cool. Not enough for confetti, right? Hey, that's a great start. Start stacking good days on top of good days. But when people start overly finding reasons to be celebratory for the most mediocre things, dude, here's a problem. It takes the validity out of something that you actually fucking earn, man.
Yes.
Because then if I talk about, hey, did 45 deals this year. It's my first year in real estate. Am I going to get the same? Not that anyone owes me anything, but would that person get the same confetti as a person who made a phone call?
Yep.
Come on, man. Like, this is where it gets super dangerous because we start overly celebrating that mediocrity. And then over here, dude, when people are actually earning things, you can't tell the difference.
Yes.
And if you can't tell the difference and you've never done that before, why would you go try?
Yeah.
You don't know what it feels like to actually do different.
Right.
You're stuck here. You might be someone listening to this right now actually believing in that toxic positivity and having no clue until right now, oh, I'm full of shit.
They don't have a will in their life, man.
Oh, Jesus.
They don't have a will in their life.
Listen, I got people in my life that keep me in check. I am not just pulling this from my brain.
No, you do.
I've got great people that are significant, that are hard, that don't pat me on the ass, man, and they're good people.
Well, and that's my last point, and we got to start wrapping up soon. But, man, when you guys have heard this before, I swear to God, I literally prayed for Will. I didn't know I was praying for Will, but I prayed for Will. I prayed for a Will. And the second he came into my life, I fucking knew it, and I latched onto that because, I mean,
latched and cried at the same time. He looked like he was holding on to a telephone pole during a tornado. Yeah, he was latched on, but he was like terrified.
Because I am a positive guy. I like making people feel good, right? Definitely to a toxic extent. Mm-hmm. And I was aware of that, and I became aware of that. And because I was that way, I just had people patting me on the back a lot, and I would take a compliment. I'm not gonna be the asshole. It's like, no, I could do better. You know, people compliment you, cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
A compliment.
But inside, I knew I hadn't really been tested, and I knew that I wanted to, and I knew that I needed that person in my life. And when I met Will, I was like, oh man, this is that motherfucker. And that's what I love about podcasts and social media is if you don't have that person in your life, you can listen to this and you can hear the words, you know, that we talk about and that come out of Will's mouth. And it's like, and hey guys, we're at a stage, we're fucking accessible. We talk to our fans, our listeners.
We're always going to be accessible at some point. You might be more creative to holler at us, but we're always going to be accessible.
I can't tell you guys enough. If you don't have somebody like that in your life, listen to our podcast, watch our videos, personally reach out. And then start seeking those people. Yeah. And then also being that person for somebody else.
And that's going to be a topic as well.
Yes, it is.
Seeking mentorship and guidance. I actually got notes for that one for the next time. But we might do a part two on this one.
Let's do it, man.
And my biggest thing is you're right, man. Like, maybe not my biggest thing, but a great point is when you said, take a compliment. Hey, look, when we hit top 1%, top 0.5%, of course we took compliments from our brokerage. And, hey, guys, great job. Hey, thanks. Mm-hmm. Cool. Hey, so what are you guys going to do? Well, what do you mean? I'm working tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't need to go separate and then overly celebrate and kind of feed into that. What I need to do is go, okay, what are my goals here? Was my goal to hit that? Now I can just cash it in for the rest of my life and live on that? No, man. Like, I did that yesterday. What am I doing today? So I think what we're talking about right now is a mentality.
Yes. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You don't have to be toxic toward others because your goals are bigger than theirs. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. Someone's truly happy with where they're at. I'm not going to speak to that. But if you got more ambitions and more goals, man, people give you compliments, cool, but just understand you're not cashing it in. Like, hey, that was yesterday. I'm going to keep moving forward. And on top of that, you know, understanding like, hey, what got me here in the first place? I can't coast, right? You sleep on a win, you're going to wake up with a loss, right? Conor McGregor quote, very solid quote. But that's my biggest point. It's just understanding like you don't have to be toxic toward others. Just understand that like keep people's compliments or these trophies that everybody's getting nowadays and like, hey, you got to learn how to keep that at bay if you're someone that wants to aspire to do a lot more.
Yep.
And I think we're going to dive into that next time as far as mentorship and some of that stuff too.
I think that's good, man. And remember, guys, safe doesn't mean getting a 9-to-5 and working for somebody else and having shit provided for you.
Dude, I've never felt more. By the way, not to cut you off again, I've never felt more safe than being an entrepreneur and you and I running our own real estate company.
Yep.
I've never been more prepared in my life for what's going on right now.
Yep.
So there's a lot of safety to it if you're doing it the right way and you plan for that, you know, and I wish that for everyone.
Yeah, and I hope you guys are realizing that too. And, you know, for those people that did lose their job, it fucking sucks and we're really sorry. But it's not too late to make some changes and make some adjustments.
It's hard to be sorry. Yeah. I'm not going to say I'm sorry for you.
Well, how about this?
But here's what I mean. I'm not saying I don't sympathize with your situation.
Yep.
But I don't want to say I'm sorry toward you because this could be that moment that changes your life for the better. Mm-hmm. And then when we look back on it, why the hell would I have been sorry for you? But I sympathize with what you're going through and I pray that you get better and that you learn how to be adaptive and strong through this. So when you come back and look back on that, it wasn't to be sorry about. It made you who you are and you couldn't be better for it.
That's perfect. We're ending on that note.
Right on.
Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday, guys.
If you guys need anything, as always, we're accessible. Shoot us a message. DM us. Appreciate you guys listening again. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. We will be back after the weekend, Monday or Tuesday.
Absolutely.
We'll be around.
All right,
thanks for listening, guys. Day One Dollar Zero Podcast out. Been on that.